Well, hello there again, you wonderful folk of Audioboo, Facebook and Twitter. This is Roddy Jenkins with you once again, and this is actually got carried away in the last Audioboo we did. Yeah, you wait 2 weeks for one and you get two in one. So anyway, as I was saying in the last Audioboo, Thursday update part one, this obviously be part two of said Audioboo, and we had a good funeral, and I thought actually you may have liked to know, or hear rather, poem that I read out at Granny's funeral last Thursday, a week ago today actually. Oh, that's about this time as well, I think. Okay, the poem goes a bit like this. You can shed tears that she is gone, or you can smile because she has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that she'll come back, or you can open your eyes and see all she's left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see her, or you can be full of the love you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember her and only that she's gone, or you can cherish her memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what you'd want, smile, open your eyes, love and go on. Well, that was the poem, obviously, that I read at the start of the funeral service last Thursday for Kathleen Edward Mooney, if Granny's full title, Kitty to the rest of us, and Granny to us grandchildren. She had several grandchildren, myself being the eldest. Then we had Sarana, David, Gillian, Nina, Alec, George, Afra, Ross, Robert, and she even had a great grandson in Connor. So we all paid our respects. So I was saying before, we at the end of the funeral, bear in mind it was a Catholic funeral, the priest and father goes in and asks members of the congregation to come and shake our hands. And so Dad and I were sort of thinking a little bit, well, okay, do we sort of shake our hands? We sort of, yeah, because technically we're sort of the outlaws, you know, it's the immediate family, Mum, Bob, Isabella and Peter, are the main family, were sort of the in-laws and the grandchildren and all the rest of it. Nephews and nieces and what have you. So people wanted to clap their hands, and it's been on for ages. I mean, I literally turned around to Dan and said, yeah, do you think they're doing a sort of loop outside and going back in? And I don't know. I'm sure I shook your hand half an hour ago, you know. But no, that went on, and then we had it. So everyone got back in their seat, and then we, finished off. I got called up. I had to be to escort the coffin at the church. And I went with Sarana, my cousin, who says he's the high flying, works for high flying lawyer. Get me cheapen. One moment, please. High flying law firm in Dublin. And so she was there, and she called it her killer heels. And somebody actually remarked to her outside the church, go, there's something, you see a solicitor carry a coffin, that's not a good sign. So we ordered that and all milled around, and then what we did was, there's a tradition, a family tradition of doing with the Emmett Rooney family, is that it is customary for a coffin to be carried over the boundary, over the Doon boundary, but not to actually do the common noise. And the father had said, the priest had said to everyone in the congregation of the church, said, listen, now, they'll be doing this, and if you see them getting the coffin out, we are not at common noise. This is this family tradition of carrying the coffin over the family boundary, then obviously the hearse drives on, coffees would return back into the hearse. I don't think we could all sort of manage to carry the 11 kilometres to Clonmacnoise, I can tell you. And then obviously we go to the family plot at Clonmel Noise, and where the burial then takes place. So we're doing that, and Dad had noticed this, and everyone else, like, we're all taking pictures, which no doubt will probably appear on Facebook and God knows where else. That's all kind of it. And there's Dad looked back along what's known locally as Lacquer Road, back in County Offaly. And he just said, all you could see was just, as far as I could see, it was just a queue of cars. All the well wishes, all obviously the congregation from the funeral service, all there watching us, paying their respects, waiting patiently. And so that took place, and again, Sven and I helped went in our place and sort of, you know, helped lift the coffin, carry the coffin across the boundary. The hearse, we got back into our respective cars and drove onto, I'd say, onto Clonmel Noise. And it was just, it was a wonderful, glorious sunny day. I think only thing could have done better with the weather anyway. And then we went to for the actual burial. And the family plot at Clonmel Noise is, I discovered, technically speaking, well, actually not technically speaking, literally speaking, I was actually sat on your grandparents' grave, which I felt kind of uneasy about, I had to say, because you're conscious that, you know, you're burying somebody there, and you're giving your sod of earth to throw into the grave, and you've got your sort of white flowers to go into the grave as well. And obviously, on the Wednesday of the morning, I've got this is a nice audio group. Alec, Julie, two of my cousins and myself have gone down to Clonmel Noise, and what we've done, we've dressed the grave with sort of plants and sort of leaves and branches. So some of the trees that Granny would have liked, like beech, oak, lime, that sort of thing. And we just gently sort of put a few sort of leaves in the bottom of the grave, and then obviously lined the top of the grave with twigs of the various, like the oaks, the actually lined the beech, what have you. And so what the idea is that when the coffin goes into the grave, well, I'm doing this with my hands, which you can't see, I'm not quite sure, but anyway, it sort of carries down the with the thing, so the plants and the foliage go in into the grave with the coffin, effectively. I suppose it's something that sort of say a farewell to a much loved person. I say Granny Kitty, I don't know her, was 95. She celebrated her 95th birthday back in June of this year, and she'd been really happy, and she got to a stage now where she thought she was just getting bored of life. I'd gone, thankfully, gone and seen her back in late August when she was in the nursing home in Moat, County Westmeath, and she looked happy, but she said to me, I'm such a time to go. There's no sort of response to that, because clearly, whereas I would say to, I said to somebody else, oh, well, don't do this, and come on, we'd all miss you, blah, blah, blah. Somehow, saying that to your grandmother, it doesn't quite seem right. You know, it's sort of almost like, okay, right. Okay, well, that's your wishes, and obviously we abide, you know, we respect your wishes, we stand by them, on the rest of it. And, so it's no easy, so I think at least I'm pleased to say that at least I saw her before she went. Not literally before she went, but a couple of months ago, whatever. And she'd been before, and she'd been standing there. In fact, actually, I said to mum that time, I wish I'd made an audio book there, because they were talking about the family history and people like Frosty Face and the Bottle Green. And this is going back to the family history back in the sort of 1700s, you know. I just wish I'd been there and recorded it for posterity. But there you go, these things happen, you think there'll be another chance, and sadly that chance is gone. But Granny had a good life, and She had 95 reasonable years. I suppose in one hindsight, the drugs industry, pharmaceutical industry, will be mourning her loss, because I think she spent some time up at the Blackrock Clinic in Dublin, which we kind of nicknamed her a Dublin townhouse. We remember the place like a yo-yo almost. But they were all sort of trying new drugs on her, God knows what else. Some worked, some didn't work, and yeah, I think they suddenly realised, saw the error, and let her leave, and worse, being discharged and stuff. But she had a good life, and I say she rose, brought up four wonderful children, and saw, to say, another load of grandchildren, and a great grandchild as well. Potential fiance and for Savannah, who's getting married in Fermoy, or just outside Fermoy in County Cork next August, I believe. And so she had a good life, and it was a fitting end that she went quietly, peacefully, and it was better than her sort of staying on getting into pain or being in discomfort or agony or whatever. So in that respect, she had a good time. So that was the funeral on the Thursday, and of course everyone comes back to the house to tea and biscuits. Of course you see people you haven't seen for donkey's years. It's like, I remember you and you were this high and later. And it was a good evening. Of course, we then went back to the hotel, had probably a little bit too much to drink. So I think I crawled in the bed about 3 a.m. on the Friday morning. And I was trying desperately hard not to show that I had a bit of a hangover. Just a wee bit of a hangover. I think we'll do that, yeah. Several pints of Guinness, couple of cocktails, some shot of some description at some stage had been bought by my cousins for me, and I thought, oh god, I felt bad because I didn't have enough money to pay over. I'd have to get around it, yes, but I just felt bad that I wasn't sort of being allowed to sort of, no, we're biased, okay, go. So the head was just a wee bit fragile come Friday morning, and anyway, we just had a little sort of get together, family soup, after lunch, and we all went our separate ways. Whilst driving back down to Rosslare to get the 8:45 ferry back to Pembroke. Vicky and Isabella going back to Carmel and County Meath, Bob and going back to Dublin to Anna and David, and just leaving the Peter and Jane back at Doom. I think Peter was very, very sad to it all go. As anyone would be in that situation, sort of bottled it up quite well. And it's just, I think I actually had a bit of a bear hug from him to say goodbye and say, listen, you know where your second home is. I kind of felt bad because I don't know that to me, and I mentioned this to Bob Machine on Wednesday night, sadly, it's taken something like this, A, to get the house clean and looking pristine and spotless. But also, you just feel, well, apart from them, Peter and Jane, obviously, and my cousins that are living there, most of them are nipping off to Australia come January, you just sort of think, is there anything for me to go back to? And I feel really bad about that. Maybe I'll redress that, hopefully. I don't know. But that's basically, in a kind of nutshell, what I've been up to since we last spoke. And I apologise that I'm going to hold you, but I didn't feel like doing one over there. Obviously, we were running around like chickens several late nights. But that's really it, and as the time ticks down, I will say a fond farewell to you all and speak to you.